Hello, everyone. We are getting started with the Tuesday evening version of Office Hours. Here's how we roll. If you want to get coached, you will raise your hand. I will take you in the order Zoom puts you in. but I'll give you a little piece of advice here, right? If you leave or you lower your hand and you raise it back up, Zoom puts you at the bottom of the list. So just hang out if you want to be coached. I will try and get to you as quickly as I can. But please be around when it's your turn. Okay, so there are two hands raised now. So let's see who we got. Oh, if you guys want to talk amongst yourselves, use the chat. If you have a question for me, you can use the Q&A and I will try to get to them at the end of the call. All right, I see Jennifer, Melissa, and Jean. So let's go ahead and get started. Jennifer, you're up first. Jennifer, I can't see or hear you. Oh, here you come. All right, now I can see you. I have unmuted you here, but I can't hear you. I still can't hear you. No, it has something to do with your headphones or your settings or something. Wonder if you unplug them. Still can't hear you. Did you join the audio when you signed on to Zoom? Looks like you're on your phone. Check the settings at the lower part of your screen and make sure you have not muted yourself. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you back down to attendee. Why don't you go out and come back in, and I'll make a note to look for you the next call, okay? Just make sure when you come back in, when it says join audio settings, that you hit that button, okay? All right. Let's go to Melissa. I think Melissa was next. Yep. Okay, Melissa, you're up. All right, Melissa.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I can't see you yet.
I don't know why. It's just my...
Oh, here you come.
Okay.
There you are.
There it is. Okay.
Hi.
Hi again. How are you?
I'm good. How were those weddings?
They were great, actually. It was really successful. I took your advice. I stopped catastrophizing, and I visualized, and that really helped.
Funny how that really works, right?
Yeah, it was really great. But then the following weekend, which is last weekend, I had a bit of a snag, and okay. I'm back on track, but I've been doing TDLs and going over. I did a recovery worksheet, and I wrote a lot about it, and I feel like I keep coming back to the same thoughts,
okay,
which are when I had the overeat on Sunday, it was because I was avoiding, like I didn't want the weekend to end, and I feel like I overate a little bit at a planned dinner. Mm-hmm. And one of my common patterns is to kind of just throw in the towel because I messed up.
Okay.
And to go down that. I don't always better at not not going down that path, but that's a common one.
Mm-hmm.
And then not wanting to, choosing to overeat at that point, not wanting to try to pause or try to think. Like, I notice I'm thinking, oh, just don't think. Like, I'm...
So you hide. To, you basically hide from yourself.
Yeah, and it's like I'm hiding from the weekend ending because I'm... and I'm indulging in thoughts of being overwhelmed with work. I work at home, and I'm a freelancer, so I actually work on the weekends. I don't really have a regular...
Oh, me too.
So I always have, anyway, so I keep noticing I'm not hitting my goals that I make for my work goals. And I've tried to make them more realistic and cut them down or make the time frame longer, you know, like that book finish.
So why aren't you making the goals? Why aren't you making the goals?
Well, sometimes it's because it truly does take longer to do something than I thought. Like I underestimated it. Or I'm doing something and then I realize I'm writing two books. I'm writing and illustrating two books.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like for one of the projects, I'll be doing it and then I'll realize, oh my God, I forgot I have that whole other section or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it takes longer. Or I'm also doing the side venture that is coming up, and then this person needs to show my work and I need to put together like a mini lookbook, and I didn't plan for that. So then I do that and then I don't finish what I had planned, or I just procrastinate and I'm wasting my time.
Okay.
Like buffering with
food.
No, I have
on the weekends. You are though.
Yeah. That weekend, this past weekend, definitely. But during the week I've been so much better at not, and so I buffer in other ways.
So why do you procrastinate? Why do you think you procrastinate? That goes in the action line, by the way, of your mind.
Yes.
Procrastinate. Is it because you have
overwhelmed? It's because of these thoughts of being overwhelmed. Like,
well, what's the thought? The feeling is overwhelmed. What's the thought?
The thought is, I can't face the mountain of work I have.
Okay.
I have so
that
much.
That sounds
work
terrible.
To do. Yes.
Face the mountain of work that I have.
Yes. So my feeling is, I want to avoid it.
Yeah, your feeling is overwhelmed. And then the action is to avoid, distract, eat, buffer, you know,
right,
whatever, and procrastinate, which doesn't get any of that mountain of work
right
done. Right? So you know this logically.
Yes.
So what are you going to do the next time you see this thought that says, I just can't face the mountain of work? Picture yourself in this, right?
I had it. I still had it today, but today my thought was, okay, I'm right where I need to be, and I know what I need to do. And it always is just take this step. What can I do right now?
Right.
And just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it and I get tired because it's very intense work. And then I take a break. So, and then it's like during the break, those thoughts come back.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe I should schedule breaks more. I don't know. I don't
know
what the solution is.
Who was it that told me this? Chris Crabtree, maybe, who is like super study guy, right? I mean, he just studies everything and listens to everything. He said something like, your most intense work can, you know, is you have like a 53-minute window to do really, really intense work, and then you need to rest your brain for 7 minutes.
Oh,
so
okay.
There is probably something to, you know, when you go into your deep focus work to when you start to come out of it, it's your brain telling you it needs to rest. So you go, you know, for me, what I do is I go sit out on my front porch. I even have to get out of the house for a minute. I just need the sunshine. I need the, you know, because I sit here at this desk all day long.
That's kind of like me too. Yeah.
So if I just go outside and sit on my front step for a few minutes and breathe the fresh air and get in the sunshine and rest my brain, I can come back in and do more deep focus work. That's probably what you need, is to stop pushing through those break times and allow your brain the opportunity to rest for a few minutes and recharge.
Yeah, I was thinking instead of taking these unplanned diversions, like
right
nothingness, maybe I should just plan the breaks.
Yes,
I do do a thing.
What you should do.
Well, I do the thing of setting my timer for half an hour just so I can stand up because and stretch my arm, because I've had an arm injury before and other things. But like sometimes I'm so involved in my work that I don't even want to stop, and I, you know, I have to force myself to stop and do that. But
well, if
you're saying the 53 minute thing,
that's something
maybe
that Chris
I should
read somewhere.
Experiment with that.
I think you should at least pay attention to when your brain starts to get tired.
Yes, you know, and today I did. I stopped and I took a little cat nap.
Yeah,
and then I felt better. But
yeah. And you know when your brain starts to get tired, because you start to either make mistakes, or it starts to wander, or you find yourself reading the same thing, you know, a couple of times or something like that, you know it's time to give your brain a rest. It's so similar to like physical activity. And some of the hardest work you'll do is work that you do with your brain. When you're in this intense work period, I bet you sleep really well, don't you?
Well, that's the thing. I sleep well when I don't drink caffeine.
Yeah.
So this is my big ass action for this month, is to make a commitment to just cut out all caffeine. I quit coffee, but I've noticed that when I drink tea, it also affects my deep sleep.
Sure.
I constantly wake up. I must be really sensitive to it. So,
well, it takes caffeine like 8 or 10 hours to get out of your system. I mean, it's some crazy period of time. People think, well, I'll have a cup of coffee at 3 o'clock and it won't bother me. Well, it's still in your system at bedtime.
And so, I feel like it still is, even if I have it in the morning, and I don't drink that much, but I've noticed a difference. So what I was doing, and maybe that's part of what contributed to this overeat by the weekend, is during the week, in the middle of the week, I started drinking caffeine again, and then I was having bad sleep, poor sleep. I didn't feel so rested, but I get up because I have so much to do, and then I drink more caffine to, you know, rev myself up. And then
because
I get into
so much to do, right? It's that cycle.
And then I get into a cycle, and then it's just like, and then by the time, you know, the weekend, then it's like, oh.
So, that's what happens in an overwhelmed cycle.
Just trying to find the balance.
Well, you know, I think Corinne is going to do, I'm pretty sure she's going to do a planning course in August, but I am a firm believer in planning your day ahead of time and putting in your time blocks what you are going to accomplish within that period of time.
But that's the thing I do. And then I get so frustrated because so many times I am not able to finish.
Then you just move things around.
But then it's not that hard.
It's not that hard.
End the day not finishing everything I said I would do. And then I carry it over.
Right. Then you use that data to create the next day. John Maxwell, I read his book. Where is it? I talk about this book all the time. The 15 Laws of Invaluable Growth. Okay. He says in this book, one of the laws, I don't remember which law it was, but one of them had to do with time. He said, you always plan twice as much time to do something as you think it will take.
That's smart.
Yes. Yes. Because usually we're pretty optimistic when it comes.
Well, then maybe I need to. Maybe I need to adjust my expectation then.
Probably. That's what you do when you look at the data from the day before without judging yourself as being a loser because you didn't get all your stuff done and you adjust it for the next day. It's just like doing your 24-hour plan.
I know it is.
Right?
I know.
It's the same thing. Without the judgment, without the beat down, you say, you know what? I got this much done. I got half of done what I thought I would do in the amount of time that I spent. So I'll just budget that amount of time for the other half.
That's the key. I have a lot of judgment. That's the
key. Yes. Yes. And I'm going to tell you something.
I have a lot of judgment.
Yes. What you do in one area, you do in all the areas. You judge your eating. You judge your work ethic.
Right.
You judge your overwhelm. You probably are sitting there saying, I shouldn't be overwhelmed. And that's why you're eating too. Mm-hmm. And then you judge the eating. So yeah, that's one of those things maybe Transformation Weekend will help you with.
Yes.
With all this self-judgment.
Yes, definitely. Yes, I know that's a big area to work on.
Yeah. Okay. It is for a lot of us. Corinne was telling me not too long ago, you know, she's talking about doing all this. You know, we're on a podcast, doing a podcast, and she says, you know, you do all this, you answer these questions without judgment. And I was like, just stop a minute. We need to do a podcast on self-judgment. She says, why? I said, because I don't know how to stop it. And she looked at me and she goes, you just do. Just like you can hear her, right? You just hear the thoughts and you say, you know what? I'm not going there today. I understand that you're in there and I understand I'm going to have that thought, but you know what? We're just not going to act on it today. We're going to hear it and we're going to say, you know what? You don't get to take up space today. And you move on to the next thing. And I was like,
but then don't you need
really
to create a better thought though?
Not if you just set it aside.
But it just keeps coming back.
Yeah. So
at least for me,
she said, that's the problem. Is that we think the thoughts, those self-judgment thoughts, shouldn't come back.
Oh.
That's the problem. So if we're fighting against them just like we fight an urge. We're resisting thoughts just like we resist an urge, rather than allowing them to come in and not acting on them. Oh, yeah, there you are. Thanks for your input. Next. Right?
Okay.
I mean, it works the same way. I mean, when I put that connection together, I was like, oh, wow. You mean all those times I tell myself I'm not good enough, I don't have to sit there in the toilet and, you know, think about how bad, you know, how bad I'm not good enough, how I'm bad because I'm not good enough. I can just hear, you know, you're not good enough at this and go, you know what? I appreciate your input, but right now I'm working and just tell it.
Right.
I hear you, but today, you know, we're just not going to think that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is interesting because that's the hardest part of the basics is the eating two to two because of the urges. That last course was really amazing. And I had a lot of growth through that, but my most difficult thing to grasp is that I'm practicing is to be able to sit with the discomfort rather than white knuckle.
Yep. Takes practice, but you'll get it. All right.
And I do. I had more. So, okay. Just transfer that to the same.
Yeah.
The same situation. Okay.
Yep. It works all over the place.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. See you later.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye. All right, Jennifer, let's see if you're back.
Hello.
Say something. Oh, yay, you're here.
You can hear me.
I can.
I realized I didn't have the microphone setting on my phone like to access Zoom.
Yeah.
So that was the problem. But hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, so I have some thoughts going on that I kind of wanted to talk to you about and, you know, talk through. So I joined in April. So I'm an April baby. I came off of Lifetime Weight Watcher member, counting calories, all that fun stuff. So for me, I'm basically in maintenance because I'm in my goal range per se. So I have a lot of accountability partners. My girls are wonderful, but I've just been struggling with the scale. Some might say obsessed, not obsessed. That's not a good word, but I can sometimes be a daily weigher.
Okay. What's wrong with that?
Well, okay. So what's wrong with that was, so I weighed in on Friday last week for weigh-in day. I was down 2 pounds. Great. Saturday morning, I weighed myself. I was up a pound. Sunday, I weighed myself. I was up a pound. And Monday, I weighed myself and I was up another pound.
Okay. What do you make all that mean?
Confusion, only because...
That's a feeling. What did you make it mean? What was the thought about it?
Oh, okay. So I made that mean that I'm doing something wrong.
Right. That's exactly. Okay. That's what the problem is with daily weighing.
Yeah,
you can't look at it with, oh, I wonder why I'm up a pound. Oh, I wonder why I'm up another pound. And you make it mean, I'm screwing this up. It's bad. I'm going downhill. You know, and that's the problem with the scale, not with weighing daily.
Correct.
Because you can do that weighing weekly too.
Well, yes. And my other, where I got very frustrated was... you know, I stuck to my plans. I didn't have any overeats. I didn't have any off-plan eats. I honestly didn't even eat a ton of food, like Saturday, Sunday, what have you. So then, of course, my thoughts are running through my head. Was this a good decision for me to make to join the tribe? I mean, I love the tribe. I love everything about you guys. But then I started questioning that because I know maintenance is different than people who are, you know, losing weight. It's just, you have different goals. Well, okay. That's a feeling.
That's a thought. Why is it different?
A thought. Well, because I think,
Do you think the basics are different for someone who's in maintenance than someone who's losing weight?
No, the basics are not different. And I was actually talking, with my accountability partners about this. We're still working the plan the same way we lost the weight and that we're going to live it. I think, let me phrase this correctly.
So the coach doesn't get me.
Well, because when I say something, I'm like, no, that's not how you have to say it. I mean, it's still the same. We still have the same struggles. Again, the scale, the data, all that stuff. I just think, that, oh, it's supposed to be easier now. You lost it. And I think my personal opinion is maintenance for me is harder than losing the weight.
Oh, there's a big hairy thought.
Yes.
Maintenance is harder than losing the weight.
Yes, for me.
Why?
I think because I've been struggling. I had a couple health issues, like stomach problems, things, of, you know, for the
What's that have to do with maintenance?
No, it doesn't have to do with maintenance. It well, because it messes with the scale.
You said maintenance is harder than losing weight.
Maintenance is harder for losing weight for me because the scale is always fluctuating.
Right. That's your body's natural rhythm. You think you're going to step on the scale and it's going to read the same thing every day for the rest of your life?
No.
No.
But also because I'm at a I'm at the higher end of my happy place. And I just.
So why is maintenance harder than losing weight? You've used the word struggle like 5 times too.
Yeah. Cause I'm struggling.
No.
My thoughts are struggling. My thoughts are struggling.
You keep telling yourself you're struggling. Guess what you're going to keep doing?
Struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. But why is maintenance? This is the real key here. You have this belief that maintenance is harder than losing weight.
I can't answer that. I don't know. That's something I have to, I haven't done one. I don't even know where to start.
Well, but this doesn't need the model. Okay. It needs a dig in your brain.
Yeah.
To figure out why you have this belief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how long have you been in maintenance?
Probably a couple years.
Okay. And you've stayed in maintenance for a couple of years.
Yes, but not at the weight that I'm at right now.
Okay. How big is this ideal weight range that you have? Like 5 to 8 pounds, something like that?
Right now it probably is. I do like a max like 5 pounds, you know.
Okay. Let's do this. If you don't mind, tell me, what your lowest weight was.
Okay. 99.
Okay. And tell me what your weight is now.
Well, the last time I weighed on Monday, yesterday, it was 109.
109.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And tell me what your ideal range is.
I usually fluctuate anywhere from like 103 to like 106. Okay. 99 was, that's not even, I don't even know how I was 99.
Okay. So this is 103 to 106 is only 3 pounds.
Yeah.
You can fluctuate 3 pounds based on a good leg day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So if we were to expand that out a little bit, you'd probably be better off like 5 to 8 pounds is where you really want to have. That's your body is naturally going to fluctuate 5 to 8 pounds.
Correct.
Okay. Just based on your time of the month or your exercise or how much water you had or how hot it is outside. Here, I'm telling you, here in the South, I swear I carry more weight in the summertime because I puff up because of the humidity. It's crazy. You know, I can feel it in my hands and all.
Yeah.
So, how long have you been above that, like in this 109 range, above 106?
Every week, it kind of probably for the last month or so.
Okay.
No, okay. The 109, it's only been like say twice in the past couple of weeks, but usually it's been going 106, 107, sometimes 104. Like it's just all over the place. So,
yeah, it's that natural fluctuation, right? Mm-hmm. So you could get on the scale tomorrow and be 107,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. And that's not unheard of. So why is this hard? How much weight did you lose? When you lost your weight, how much did you lose?
I think I lost about 28 pounds.
Okay. So why is this harder? Why is staying in these 10 somethings harder than losing that 28 pounds?
It's thinking back, it was just the weight was just coming off.
Why was it just coming off?
I think because not that I'm not focused now, but I had a goal to get to. Like I didn't specifically have a weight goal, but I was like, okay, I want to get this weight off. I had two pregnancies back to back. So I did that.
Maybe that's why then. Because you were focused on a goal.
Yeah.
Are you focused on a goal now? Or are you just beating up the scale every time you get on and getting mad?
Basically, yeah. And I know that the scale is only data. Mm-hmm. I didn't join to lose weight. I mean, a couple pounds, but it was more of the mental work, you know, that, the tribe offers, which has been phenomenal.
Right.
That's been great for me. And I understand that the scale does fluctuate. And like you said, I could eat too much salt last night or too much water or too much this, too much that. But it really, that's why I had to take a break from getting on the scale daily because of the mental frustration it was causing me.
The scale doesn't cause you frustration.
I cause myself frustration.
Your thoughts because about the scale cause you frustration.
Yes, because of the thoughts about
you can,
it.
You can avoid that frustration all day long by not getting on the scale.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
What good does that do for you? Rather than dealing with the thoughts about the scale and what you're making it mean.
Yeah.
So what you're making it mean, you know, you get frustrated when the scale goes up.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're making it mean is that you're doing something wrong and that maintenance is harder than losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
None of which is true. Unless you can go back, can you go back and look at all your plans and assessments and see what you need to level up?
Yeah, I mean, I've never skipped a 24-hour plan. Mm-hmm. I have them all. I only recently in the past couple of weeks started doing my assessments.
Okay.
Yes, I definitely can go back, and I do go back and I do look. That's what I was doing when I was looking at my food intake from the weekend. I was like, well, this day you only had, a salad for lunch, and then breakfast you had yogurt and that was it for the day. Like, mm-hmm. how is the scale up because of that?
Well, then the answer is that's my body's natural rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you just track it. Mm-hmm. And if you see it consistently going up, you know there's something to adjust. But mm-hmm. if you're seeing it do this,
mm-hmm.
you know, this wavy thing up and down, for those of you listening on the podcast, then, you know, that can't see my hand doing it, then you know that that's what your body is just naturally going to do. Okay.
Now, do you have any suggestions of where maybe I could start to level up?
I'd have to see what you're doing. My suggestions are that you assess like a boss.
Okay.
Especially look at your hunger scale. Okay.
Oh, well, that's the other thing that I struggle with is.
Oh, really?
Now
it's coming out.
No.
All this time.
No, not that I'm not overeating, but I don't always feel negative too. I don't get the growl. I don't get all that stuff. So, and I know I've like, when Corinne does her lives, I've done like ask Q&A about it. And she has said that she doesn't necessarily either.
My stomach will growl when I'm at like -4.
Yeah. Seriously. So sometimes, like for instance, today it was about 11. I was kind of getting a little hungry. So I said, should I have my yogurt? And I said, you know what? It's 11. Let me just wait till lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Had some water. And then I ended up eating at like 2:30. I had my mm-hmm. salad. So that is I'm trying to.
You almost said it, didn't you?
I did. I'm trying.
So why is that? But why is that a struggle? It's not.
No, it's,
you know,
that's why.
If you weren't at -2, you didn't need to eat yet. You might have been at -1. You had a little whisper of hunger, a little tiny suggestion of hunger.
Yeah, like a little scratch in my stomach.
Yeah, you had some water and you ended up eating at 2:00. There's nothing wrong with that. People do that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody is going to get a growl at -2. I mm-hmm. feel empty though. I can feel the emptiness. And that's
yeah.
why I know I'm at -2. And I get that. I also get it's really strange. I get like a feeling in my throat when I'm hungry. It's like an emptiness in my throat too. It's like my stomach juices are churning up or something. Yeah. Like, hello,
something.
It's time to eat, right?
Yeah.
So, but everybody's cues are going to be just a little bit different.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's something I'm working on. So like, I try to be very conscious of that. Mm-hmm. I did the hunger scale challenge last mm-hmm. week, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. I try to do every couple of days or maybe once a week, like on the clock, I go mm-hmm. back to that mm-hmm. and I'll mm-hmm. do that. So I was really looking forward to the gift of fat this month.
Yeah.
So when I was filling out the sheet and it was saying about your weight, how much you want to lose it, I'm like, oh, I'm in maintenance. Like, I don't know. So I just put 3 pounds this way. If it
Okay, let me ask you this. This is funny. You've said you're in maintenance a couple of times now, but you're above your ideal weight range.
So then I'm probably in weight loss mode.
I'm going to tell you that Corinne totally nailed me on saying the same thing. Only I called it a funny place in maintenance where I want to lose, you know, back down into my ideal weight range.
Okay.
She's like, Kathy, you're not in maintenance.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, oh, okay. So I'll work on that. So be careful what you tell yourself too, because that kind of changes your brain a little bit too. But your real issue is watching these thoughts around the scale.
And
you making it mean that things are hard and that you're struggling. What if you're just evaluating and you're learning a new program? And you're using all this assessment and evaluation time to figure this out because you don't want to count points the rest of your life.
Oh, God, no.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's all you're doing. You're assessing without judgment, without telling yourself you're a loser or beating yourself up or whatever. And you're making a plan the next day based on what you learned about the day you just assessed. That's the thought. That's the real clear, open-minded, curious thought. What can I learn about today that I can take into tomorrow? If you want to include getting on the scale in that assessment, you can. Just do it without thinking things are going wrong. Do it with the thought that I'm using this as part of my assessment to determine, you know, what's going on today. And make sure you evaluate everything, not just the number on the scale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about, like we talked about, the heat, the salt, the whether or not you pooped that morning, you know, all that stuff.
The cortisol.
The cortisol, the stress, all that stuff, okay? Because all that stuff can have an effect on the scale.
Yeah, I didn't get on the scale this morning, and I'm in a great mood today. I know it's not supposed to. No, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to leave it till Friday. Let's just let it be. Mm-hmm. Don't need it.
Well, then I want you between now and Friday, every day, to visualize getting on the scale and writing the number down without judgment. Without thinking something went wrong or something went right, with saying, okay, here's the number. Let's go back and look at the week and see what we can learn. I want you to practice that ahead of time every single day until Friday.
Okay. And I have to really do my assessments.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really something I have to, I mean, I've been doing it. Basically, I do mine in the morning. So I review what I had the day before. Mm-hmm. Kind of just check it off. Yes, yes, yes. And I move on.
So that's exactly what you need to do.
Yeah. Today is day 104 of me doing a 24-hour plan. So I haven't missed a 24-hour plan since March.
Now yes. Get at that string going of assessments too.
Yes, I am. Okay. I've been doing that now.
Yeah. Good deal.
All right. Thank you so much for all your talking and encouragement. I really appreciate it.
You are very welcome.
Have a good night.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Tanya. The real Tanya. I'm calling you out. The scale cannot be a Debbie Downer unless you decide it is. Don't call it that. All the scale is doing is sitting on your bathroom floor. Jean, you're next. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
This is my first coaching call, so I'm trying not to just pass out. I know. I was going to say it's your biggest fan.
I can't believe it's your first call.
It is, in a year and a couple months. So my heart is racing.
Why?
I'm just nervous, I guess. Excited, I know.
So what's up?
I am having a case of, I guess it's like the halfway blues. When I joined PMP, I was dead set on, I knew what my future self was going to be, what she looked like. I knew everything. And I had 107 pounds to lose. So I've lost 57 pounds to date. So I'm exactly halfway.
Yeah.
Losing the weight gave me confidence in so many other areas that I was able to talk my bosses in Atlanta into letting me work remotely from Nashville. So now I'm here with my grandchildren every day. I got to go to the first meetup and like in the first 3 minutes told Corinne, what she had meant to me in a year, like just vomited all over. Anyway,
she loved it, I'm sure.
Oh, it was just like, and she was like, okay, she started to get that look like, you know, somebody watch the exit, I may have to bolt. So anyway,
no.
But I just kind of like, and every goal, it's been just as wonderful as I ever thought it would be. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of in the place where, well, okay, I'm up here now and that's nice and I love it. And I can now shop in the normal size of clothes. I still have so much further to go, but I just feel like I'm kind of complacent.
Okay.
And it's like even the leaving two bites, which I felt like really helped my last 10 pounds. I was in a lull since mm-hmm. Christmas. Mm-hmm. And now I'm sitting there, I'm like, I don't really want it bad enough. So I'm just,
why not?
I don't know.
No,
I don't know.
Say that.
I know.
If you had to guess, what would be the guess? Why don't you want it anymore?
I worry that the food is more important than the rest of my goals.
That's not why you don't want it anymore.
A rebellion? Like, I just don't want to. I just don't want to stop.
Could be. Maybe you've gotten comfortable where you are.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's what you tell yourself anyway.
That's what I tell myself. Yeah. This is good enough.
This is good, right. We just did a podcast on this. I don't know if it's released yet, on that thought, this is good enough. Seriously, we did. It's a super poisonous thought. Because when you look at it from a logical standpoint, if you have 50 pounds you want to lose, 50 more yes. pounds that you want to take off, is this really good enough?
No.
It's not, right?
No, it's not.
So when you hear that thought, you kind of have to sit back and go, wait a minute. You know, I'm telling myself this is good enough, which is creating the feeling of complacency, which creates the action of inaction.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
Which creates the result of, well, it may as well be good enough because I'm not doing anything.
Right.
So when you hear that thought, you have to challenge it and ask yourself, is this really good enough? If it is, then stay right where you are. But if logically you know it's not, that's when you have to start layering in those actions that you know are going to create the result. Okay, you have to really, really become focused on those basics again, on those things that you know will get the weight off, mm-hmm. and let all that chatter that's going on in your head telling you, I don't really want to do this, just let it talk and go into the big actions anyway.
Okay.
Right. So you know what to do because you've lost 57 pounds.
Right.
Right. Right. You've gotten comfortable. And it's probably part of moving to Nashville and being close to family. And, you know, you're in this happy place now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're in this, you know, the world is happy for Jean right now because
yes.
of all these things that have happened.
Yes.
So that has contributed to this feeling of complacency. You know, this is I'm in a great place, right?
Right.
So now it's just time to turn up the heat on yourself and say, all right, I still have 50 pounds to lose. There's, where is my, I think it's in the other room. Corinne said something so, I say this all the time. She said something so smart. it's two journal prompts she gave that go with the gift of fat. And I'm sure I'm going to butcher them. But the first one is something like, these are the things I'm going to do today to have my own back.
Okay.
You make that list every morning. And it doesn't have to be a 25-point list. It can just be four basics. You know, right?
Right,
but
right.
But you actually intentionally write down, these are the things I'm going to do today to have my own back.
Okay.
All right. And then the next question or the next thing you write down is, these are the thoughts I need to think to do those things.
Okay.
So you've pretty much created the action line and then the thoughts that'll lead to the feelings that create those actions. So for you, it might be, tomorrow might be, the things you need to do to have your own back might be, do you work?
Well, I work remotely.
Okay, right. You work. Home. You said that. Mm-hmm.
But I have defined hours, so I do.
Right. So yeah. You show up at work and you do your best. Mm-hmm. You drink your water. Mm-hmm. You eat your planned meals. And you get in bed at whatever time you get in bed. I mean, it could be as simple as that.
Okay.
And then the thought that you need to think in order to do those things, what would, just throw one out there. That might be a download that you find one in, but okay. You just throw one out there that you, a power thought that usually works for you.
Okay.
You have one.
I usually write, I'm worth the effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you might ask yourself tomorrow, why are you worth the effort? Right. And expand on it a little bit.
I was doing my list in the gift of fat, mm-hmm. you know, that last page, mm-hmm. and I could not come up with five things. Like you're supposed to do five a day, and I got to, mm-hmm. I'm worth it. And I thought, I don't really have anything.
I think that's the, is that the third week of the challenge?
I hope so, because then I can put it off.
Well, yeah.
Yay!
You spend the next 2 weeks thinking about it and coming up with things. Somebody says it's the fourth week, somebody else says it's the third week. I think it's the third week. I think the fourth week is on the clock.
Okay.
Because this is no eating after bed.
Right.
After dinner. Next week is the exercise. Then the week after, is the reasons you're worth it. And the week after that is on the clock. But that's what I would do. I would start each day with those journal entries and set your intention for the day to take care of yourself no matter what.
Okay.
And when you hear that thought, this is good enough, just pull the BS light on it. Say no. I want to lose 50 more pounds.
Right.
You know, I'm enjoying this way too much.
Right.
I'm enjoying how good I feel way too much. I can't imagine how much better I'm going to feel 50 more pounds down.
Right.
Right?
Right. Well, and I was worried, like I was I kind of just given myself the out, like, I'm in stage four or stage three and it's on automatic pilot. But I think I'm just gotten to where I can kind of game the system.
I think like, you're in stage two.
Just sliding around. You think stage two.
Mm-hmm. I think you've fallen back into stage two a little bit, which is totally normal.
Okay.
Because it feels hard right now, right?
It's not harder, but yeah, it's just like not worth the struggle maybe.
Yeah. You might have a toe in stage two.
Okay.
But continuous action will move you back into stage three. We'll get those.
Okay.
Get that stuff reestablished.
Well, great. Okay. Yeah. I actually took notes, which I'm not a note taker, but yeah, I thought she's probably going to say something I want to write down. So I got
You can always listen back again too. Because Betty will post this sometime tomorrow. Okay, so Merle is saying week three is leveling up. Week four is I'm worth it. Week five is on the clock. Thank you, Merle. My memory isn't so good. All right.
Well, I had gotten to the point where the last few weeks I eat what I call linear. So like I eat around 4 or 5 mm-hmm. and then I just don't eat. So, mm-hmm. but I just have to... you know, I've gotten gray around all the basics. I'm staying up a little later, you know, my plus two. So just mm-hmm. sliding around them instead of focusing. So,
instead of being intentional with them.
Right.
Trying to get intentional again.
Right. All righty. Well,
it's not that hard. It actually feels good when you get super focused back on them.
Good deal.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
I'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Okay. Bye bye. Deanna, you're next.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I actually have two things, if you have time.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is, Saturday, I was having a day where I was like grazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I did recovery pretty quickly after.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought I came up with was, I don't care, that mm-hmm. type of thing. But But okay. Then the next day, when I was driving, something occurred to me. I'm like, that wasn't the thought. The thought was, nothing satisfies me.
Okay.
And so sometimes, every now and then, I'll have that thought, and I'll eat, and I'm like, this is not satisfying me. And I'm thinking already of the next thing I'm going to eat. And while I'm waiting for your coaching, I realized it wasn't beforehand that I started that thought. It was during the eating. I don't know if that makes any difference. But I was just wondering what I could maybe use to tell myself that, like, you know, in response to that. Nothing satisfies me.
Well, tell me what was going on before the grazing.
I have, and I don't want to blame it, but I have wicked PMS.
Mm-hmm.
very irritable, and things bother me a lot more than usual. So I think that had to do with it, mainly.
So you had more eating urges, likely, because of the time.
And I was
depressed.
I was feeling depressed too.
Okay.
And so that's why hormones.
That's why you started with I don't care. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you started eating, and then you continued to eat because of the thought, nothing satisfies me.
Yeah. And then when I had this realization yesterday, I realized that it's actually deeper than the food not satisfying me. Like, I felt like nothing would satisfy me in life. Nothing would make me feel better, kind of thing.
Right.
So I need to, like, I guess, write about that.
Yep.
And write about how I can find satisfaction within myself somehow. I don't know how, but somehow.
Well, what does satisfaction mean to you?
Like, peace of mind and happiness with where I'm at in the moment. Mm-hmm. Not thinking I should be this and I should be that, or I should be doing something different than I'm doing.
Right. So peace of mind and happiness are feelings.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not experiencing those feelings because you're spending time with, I should be doing this or I should be feeling this, you know, which leads to dissatisfaction. Okay. If you think about the model, you know, I'm not where I should be. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. I should be feeling this. That's all dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you want peace of mind and happiness, you have to create thoughts that create those feelings. Okay. So happy is probably a stretch when you're PMS and irritable, but peace of mind, being calm, is probably not so much of a stretch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to do, I would think what you would have to do when you start hearing these I shoulds is just pause. And, you know, tell yourself that, you know, we used to have a coach who used to say, quit shoulding on yourself.
Mm-hmm,
okay. The shoulds don't help. Yeah. Nothing helps with the shoulds. So you have to, you pretty much have to just set them aside and say, all right, should, we're not going to think those. What am I doing and what can I do? You know, let's be more active about what's happening right now rather than all this judgment I have about what I should be doing.
Right.
Okay.
Like the shooting I was doing was like, sort of like, you know, when you look at Facebook and you say, oh, well, they're doing this and they're having fun. I'm not doing that. But like you said just now, I could think, well, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
What can I plan and start to look forward to? Something like that.
Right. Exactly. The shoulds are never, you know, that's, should is, should's a word that's full of judgment, right? I mean, that's pretty much a huge indicator that you're being tough on yourself when you say, I should be doing this or I should be doing that.
Yeah.
So I love, you've pretty well coached yourself through this call. Mm-hmm. I love how you've come back around to, okay, what can I do? That's exactly what you should do. And that sets you on a path with intention that probably creates a better feeling than irritated.
Yeah.
Right?
All right. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yes. I mean, it just helps to talk it out and mm-hmm. think that I'm not the only one having these thoughts, you know, and like hearing validation, basically.
Yeah. When you hear the thought while you're eating, nothing satisfies me, mm-hmm. that's when you take a pause and ask yourself what would satisfy you. Mm. It's not food related. Where in your life are you looking for satisfaction? Because mm-hmm. it's not in the pantry, I promise you.
Yeah, because right? I even knew that while I was eating. I'm like, I'm just looking for food to satisfy some deeper hole that I need to work on, you know.
Yeah.
Within myself.
Right. That's where you leave the kitchen and you get your journal and figure out what it is.
Isn't it funny how, like, you know that the food's not going to work, but sometimes you still do it?
Well, you know, but that's really called awareness. Mm. Okay. That shows growth because mm. how long have you been in the tribe?
Since April.
So when you joined in April, would you, while you were grazing and saying nothing satisfies me, would you be sitting there telling yourself, yeah, but what would, or have you just grown that much in a couple of months?
I think so, because I remember having that thought, and I haven't actually had that thought since the beginning of, you know, April. Mm-hmm. But I remember having it in the past and not realizing that it was deeper than the food, that it was something that I need, you know, something within my life, you know.
Right. So that's,
and it's very frustrating because why can't this food satisfy me? Like, no, it's never enough.
Right. But that's the growth that you're seeing. That's what's so cool about talking to you is that you're not only coaching yourself on this call and doing a good job with it, you're showing me and you're showing everyone else here that a little bit of work on yourself and really thinking about what you're thinking about mm-hmm. helps you begin to define what your next steps are. That shows mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to stop this grazing overnight, but you're going to start hearing the voices that are asking you, is this really what you want to be doing? And mm-hmm. eventually you're going to start answering those voices with, no, this is not what I want to be doing. It could be next time and it could be a month from now, but it's coming, mm-hmm. right? It's just the progression of layering in these tools that you're using and that you're learning that you're paying attention to. This is good work.
Yeah, I love it. I love the thought models, you know, they're just amazing. And that's the other thing I wanted to ask for some help on.
Okay.
I'm actually in Queen's Club and I saw your homework.
Uh-huh.
In today's day two.
Uh-huh.
And I started to write one. So basically you want us to start from the result we want and work backwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have challenging relationship with my son.
Okay.
So I wanted the result to be about him. And I realized I can't make it about him.
Right.
Like, this is what I wanted it to be. Luke will grow up happy and successful. I cannot make that happen, right?
Right. So, that's his model. That's not yours.
I can't go poof.
Right. So, if I had a magic wand, I'd help you out. But
So then I said, can I change it to this? I want to create the environment that could help him become happy and successful. Or is that still like me trying to have a magic wand?
I think that's got too much of him in your result line.
The result should be about me?
Right. It should be about you and how you show up as a mother.
Mm.
Okay.
All right. I guess I could change it to something like, I create a happy environment in the house. Something like that. Because I have control over that, right?
Well,
okay.
You can
to some degree
influence that. You can certainly influence that.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Because I know...
What actions would you do to create a happy environment in your house?
Well, what I had put down was be kind and prudent. It's not really specific actions, but
how would you be kind and prudent? What kind of things would you do out of kindness and prudence?
Be more patient, mm-hmm. Listen more.
Okay.
Observe more rather than give advice and try to control what he does.
Right. Think before you speak, give instructions, mm-hmm. things like that. What, how would you have to feel to do those things?
Love.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
what would the thought be that creates love?
That's what I was also stuck on. I mean, maybe I can have a positive effect.
Yeah, today I will have a positive effect on the environment, and on a positive, I will create positive vibes in my house. I will have a positive effect on my relationship. I will show up in a positive way. How about that? I will show up in a positive way for my son today.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, because I like when we ask the question, like, how can I show up for myself? Well, this is, I will show up in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Yeah, because what I'm working on is learning how to guide without controlling, because a lot of times my feeling line is fear with him. Like, I'm afraid how things will turn out. So I try to control.
How old
is he?
That's
not working.
How old is he?
11.
11.
Yeah.
So fear is because you can't control his future, right? Without,
or I think I can by trying to get him to do certain things now, like building habits. But if he's resistant, and then we're battling, is not, it's like counterproductive,
right? Right. So fear of the future is not going to solve the future. Just remember that when you
fear, it's creating the future.
Yeah. When you fear the future, you're not doing anything to create it. You're just worried about it. You're just thinking about it in a negative way rather than figuring out how you can create the future that you want for yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's almost like the easy way out. Like, just to worry.
Yeah.
Fear rather than do something.
So worry also goes in the action line when you worry about something.
Mm-hmm.
And when worry's in the action line, there's not room for anything else. It's all you're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get worry out of your action line. That's what I was going to say.
Well, I was going to, do you agree that, and I mean, it's again just a thought, but the things we worry about, we actually create.
Because I don't know if I believe that.
No.
Okay. No, I think what happens is when you're worried, you're not in action, which means you're not creating what you want. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I'm not in action towards the result I want. So, okay.
Right. Okay.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Have a good night.
See you later. All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Cherie, you're next. And then Jill. And those are the only two hands raised.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me and see me?
I can.
Awesome.
You get a gold star.
First time I've been coaching.
Both.
So I'm used to hiding my video. So
what's up with you?
Hi. Yes. Hi. So I'm April baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I had sent in a message about trying to find my compelling reason.
Okay.
And kind of struggling with that because it's like nothing's really sitting with me. And I don't know, maybe I'm thinking the compelling reason's magic and it's not. But, you know, I tend to go to like all the things I don't want to be. You know, I'm finding that list of the negatives. And I know Corinne keeps saying that, you know, all the things I don't want to be isn't a compelling enough reason.
No,
It's not going to keep you
right.
Focused. And so, you know, I went through and I wrote out a bunch of things because I was like, well, maybe I just need a brain dump and something old
okay.
kind of stick. And, you know, ultimately, I think what came out of it was the thing I think is my most compelling reason is still fear-based. You know, it's like I get to the point where I'm like, I'm single.
Excuse me.
I'm divorced. I don't have any kids. I'm successful. I have a lot of great friends and family. It's, you know, it's like I have this thought that I want to be married again and I want romantic love. And I'm somehow tying that to be that the reason why I'm not remarried is because I'm overweight, you know? And so I have like a million thoughts about it. Mm-hmm. And I get a little overwhelmed where I'm like, I recognize that those are thoughts and I recognize it's my bullshit story.
Right.
But ultimately I still like have this feeling and desire for out my life with that kind of romantic mm-hmm. love.
Okay.
And so, you know, I realized like when I put it on paper, like saying the reason why I want to lose weight is because I want to find a boyfriend and get married. Like those things don't really tie in reality, because if that was the case, then only skinny people would be married.
Right. Right.
So I'm just kind of like, you know, whenever I wrote out my 5 why, you know, it kind of got down to the point where I had that in there saying, you know, I want to be married. And ultimately I think my final kind of why was, I want to feel that deep love and connection in every aspect of my life. Mm-hmm. And not be held back because my thoughts about my weight hold me back from making those connections.
Okay.
You know, and so, but so far it's like still not enough to stop me from.
Well, here's the thing. The mm-hmm. thoughts about your weight. Preventing you from making connections. Mm-hmm. Is not going to change if you lose the weight.
Right.
Because that's actually. Tell me what your thoughts are about your weight.
So when I wrote down some of like my thoughts, I'm like, I have to lose weight to find love. I have to be smaller to be attractive. Mm-hmm. I can't find a man who I'm attracted to that will reciprocate with me at this size.
So what's wrong with your size? What's wrong with your size?
The things that bother me the most about my size, like, you know, some of it's very superficial and I judge myself for it, I recognize, but it's the things like, you know, the clothes that I really want to wear that to me fit my personality don't look good on me okay. at my size. Like, you know, I kind of feel like the plus size clothes are, you know, make me frumpy and kind of hide that light from me, you know, I just look at myself in the mirror and I just don't like, you know, what I see. I'm like my stomach sticks out further than my boobs, you know, yep. just some of those superficial things. And, you know, I struggled a lot with, I travel a lot and I love to travel, and my weight has, meant that things like sitting in an airplane seat and almost needing the extra belt. Mm-hmm. You know, are not fitting well in it, or not being able to move. And so I'm like at this size, I feel like my inner person can't express itself in the way she wants to, because there are just physical limitations, okay. with that.
So that's a big hairy thought. Your inner person right. can't express herself the way she wants to.
Right.
Basically you said it, you don't like what you see. Okay, that's why losing weight is not going to fix this. Because you're always, if you're looking for what's wrong, you're always going to see what's wrong.
Right.
Okay, so how much weight do you want to lose?
About 85 pounds.
Okay, so if you lose 85 pounds, poof, do you think you're going to automatically start loving yourself again?
No, I mean, yeah. I know I won't. I've gotten down to probably 60 pounds less than what I am now. And even then, when I was dating someone,
right.
the commentary that I was saying, he was like, I can't wait until you see yourself the way we see you, because mm-hmm. like, you're fine. And I was a size 12 at the time, not right. plus. And so I know it's my head is the mess.
Right. So you said it was the thoughts about your weight preventing you from making connections. It's the thoughts about yourself that are preventing you from making connections. The weight is just a symptom of it. Yeah. Okay. The weight is the easy thing because it's out there and in the mirror. I mean, seriously.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Like, it's the easy excuse because it's the one thing that I can say I have a problem with, and I can just blame it on that.
Right. You need to do the self-love course.
I just downloaded the workbook and was like, I think I need to do that one right now, because it's, you know, I have so many, I recognize when I do the journaling, like I have so many ways that people express to me overtly that they love and care for me. Mm-hmm. And it upsets me that it's not enough.
You know why it's not enough? Because it's the C line of your model. What someone else says is the C line of your model. You have a thought about what they say. And that thought is, it's not enough. Let's say I say, I love you, Sheree. I think you're fantastic. Put that in your C line. Kathy says she loves me and thinks I'm fantastic. Your thought is, it's not enough. Feeling is, I don't know. What's the feeling? It's not enough.
Sadness.
Sad. And when rejected. You're sad, yeah. It's because the result is you're rejecting yourself. Okay, your actions are the negative talk, the, you know, look in the mirror and see your stomach instead of your boobs, and, you know, all that stuff that you said. And the result is that you're rejecting yourself. If your thought was, I love myself and I'm fantastic, then the model, total model changes. The reason people telling you that doesn't land with you is because it's not your thought. You have a judgment about their thought.
Yeah.
You have a judgment about what they said. And you've judged it to be wrong because you don't believe it yourself. So your work is to cultivate some positive self-worth. And you start that by working on that self-love course. And I'm telling you, if you don't see much improvement after a month, you do it again. You just keep on doing that work until you start to look at yourself with a little bit of a different light. Because that's the magic to all of this. You know, you have to love yourself and care for yourself enough to do this work. Right, to do this PMP work. That's why do you think Corinne has in what week was it, Marley? The third or the fourth week? 5 reasons I'm worth doing this work. Because it's at the core. That self-love, self-worth work is at the core of all this work that you do to lose weight. Because you have to figure out that you're worth it and that you're worth the effort and that it's okay to spend time on yourself. That's why you can't find a compelling reason that's positive, because you're so busy beating yourself up on the inside because you don't like yourself.
Yeah.
You did say one very positive thing, which you could use for your compelling reason if it is compelling enough to you. And that was about the clothes. I want to shop in the not plus size area and buy really cute clothes. I think that was one of Corinne's compelling reasons. She wanted to get out of Lane Bryant. I remember her saying that on some of her calls. She wanted to get, I want out of Lane Bryant. I never want to step in that store.
Right. I'm like, damn you, Lane Bryant.
I know.
All right. Yeah. And I did, you know, and I was talking to her and she was talking about, you know, how like everything else, like, you just do it a little bit at a time. And, you know, if my completely inner altruistic compelling reason is too big right now, that, you know, that something like that, you know, is worth trying and it can change. And, you know, once I start getting there, then I can keep just addressing, okay, what is really that next thing?
Yeah. So. And, you know, I would, as you're doing the self-love course, I'd just start collecting compelling reasons. You can have more than one. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a call on the site with an author called John Acuff, mm-hmm. okay, who wrote the book Finish. He's local here. He talks about, in this call, having a host of compelling reasons to draw from. Because today, you know, the super cute clothes in the regular size section of the store might not be enough, but the seatbelt extender might be, you know, or the not needing the seatbelt extender might be. So you just write out a bunch of them and see what lands on a particular day, or you just keep your list. You know, I've got stuff hanging from my computer monitors all over. I've got 4 post-it notes right now, and I just cleaned it out. So, right. So yeah, you can do your whys and see if you can come up with positive, or you can just have a thought one day. You know what? I want to use that blouse, or I'd like to go to the movies and not want popcorn. Or, you know, just something will pop in your head. Just write it down as a compelling reason. Okay. Awesome. Yes. Now, one more thing. A compelling reason is not going to be a magic wand that makes you want to follow your plan 100%. Right. It's going to remind you, though, in the moments where you feel weak, of why. Why you need to follow the plan. Why you really want to follow the plan. Okay? It's just a little, it's just a little nudge reminder.
Okay.
Does that help?
I keep reminding myself. Yeah, it does. Yes. It's, you know, I keep listening all day to whenever I can to different things. And, you know, I laugh because I always think, I'm like, I don't want to get coached because she's going to be like, for God's sake, just that's your thought. And so when I'm like, you know, it's, I don't want to get to the point that I'm so overwhelmed with stuff. So I'm like, I'm just going to have to ask because I recognize it's not anything new, but for me it is. Mm-hmm. So I'll just keep, and I did find an accountability group too. So
good. When did you join?
April.
April. Okay. So you've already been through all of no BS then.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
I did no BS for sure. And I did some of the urges one. I just, I didn't do self-love because I was kind of, I think self-love came out when I was still doing no BS.
Yeah. So. Oh, that's your next one. Get started.
Okay.
You said you printed out the workbook, right?
I did. Yeah. Just a little while ago. Cause I was like, I think this is probably what I need to do. Yeah. So
tell your accountability group that you're working the self-love course and that you're going to report into them every day that you've done your journal prompt.
Okay.
Okay.
I will.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
See ya. Jill, you're next. And y'all, Jill is the only one with her hand raised. So if anybody else wants to be coached.
Hi.
Hello.
I joined in September.
Yeah.
And I haven't been coached once because I'm too shy to call in.
Well, apparently not.
Well, I finally just... You asked me to call in, and I thought it would be a call. I didn't know it would be a video thing. So here I am.
Hi.
Hi.
Did I ask you to do this in Facebook or in Ask Coaches?
Ask Coaches.
Okay. So tell everybody why you are calling in.
I'm calling in because I try to skip breakfast. Mm-hmm. So to kind of like make my fast a little longer. Mm-hmm. And when I do that, and sometimes if I'm just fasting at different times a day, I feel extremely nauseous. Mm-hmm. Not to the point of actually throwing up, but to the point where I kind of want to. And it's really uncomfortable and I just can't sit with it. I can sit through hunger when that happens, but when I feel nauseous, it's unbearable.
Okay.
And so the only thing that seems to take away the nausea is eating. Which kind of defeats the purpose. And when I start eating because I have felt nauseous, I end up gaining weight.
All right. So does this happen every day or is it just sometimes?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Often though.
Where does it come with relation to hunger? When does it come before hunger? Does it come after hunger? Tell me.
Oh, before.
Before hunger.
Before. Like, you know, first thing in the morning, if I've skipped breakfast, mm-hmm. And it's been a little longer than usual, than when I would normally eat, then I'll feel nauseous.
You'll feel nauseous before you feel hungry.
Yes. And often I'm not hungry. I don't feel hungry. So I'm very reluctant to eat something. I could go way longer. I'm not even remotely hungry. But because of the nausea and knowing that the only thing that settles it is eating, then I end up eating.
Have you tried water?
Yeah, that makes me even more nauseous.
Really? That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So if you eat, well, mm-hmm. let's see. Can you tie it to anything you ate like the day before? Or have you done any work on, it's just random. It's just totally 100% random. How many times a week does it happen?
Probably 4 or 5 times a week.
Okay. So you when know. You eat in response to it, what do you eat?
The first thing I can find. So, you know, it might be, okay. you know, a croissant. It might be an egg.
So if I were to hand you a carrot, would you eat a carrot and respond to the nausea? And respond to
Yeah, I'd eat anything to try to settle, so get something in my stomach, because as soon as something's in my stomach, I'll feel better.
Okay. Medications?
I take thyroid medication. Thyroid medication in the morning.
Do you take it with food? Or are you supposed to take it with food?
I don't think it matters one way or another. Maybe I've been taking it for years. It's nothing new.
Okay. So when did the nausea start?
I think it actually started when I got pregnant for the first time, when I had my first baby, which was quite a while ago now, mm-hmm. like 15 years ago or so. And I get really, really nauseous, but of course I attributed it to the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And I'd go out and get a hamburger and eat that, and that would settle my stomach.
You've pretty much taught your body then that when it gets nauseous, you can eat. You've taught your brain and your body to be nauseous in the morning, and you get to eat fun food.
Well, it was the only food I could eat. Now I don't even touch that stuff because I've learned too much about nutrition to go anywhere here. But yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm. So.
But then it stopped. Uh-huh. And with my other children, it wasn't as severe as with my first one. Mm-hmm. And then it stopped again. And I gained a lot of weight very, very quickly. I was always real thin. And then I gained 80 pounds in 1 year. Mm-hmm. That's when they discovered my thyroid issue. Mm-hmm. And for the past maybe, I don't know, 3 to 5 years, I've been feeling nauseous when my body's hungry, even if I don't feel hunger.
Okay. So what if the nausea is a hunger signal for you? Is that possible?
That's possible.
I remember you writing into Ask Coaches Now, and I remember thinking, I don't remember if I responded this, could it be that your stomach is just churning up its juices because it's hungry and it's empty and it's ready for you to eat, and it is churning up the juices telling you it's time to eat, and that's making you nauseous?
Yes, it could be that. But because I don't get that rumbling feeling, I still feel kind of full.
Kind of full in the morning?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine. I could go on till 2 or 3 in the afternoon, but except for this nausea. Mm-hmm. And I don't quite know how to respond to that. Should I ignore it and live with it and hope it goes away? Or should I actually feed myself so the nausea goes away?
This is going to be something I think that you're going to have to just play with. Do you drink coffee?
No, I drink, I can drink chai tea. I love like chai teas.
Would that settle your stomach, do you think? If you put a little cream, do you put cream in your tea?
I love it when it's all milk. But
what if you were to do that? What if you were to try to settle your stomach with a glass, with a cup of tea? That wouldn't, tea without cream is not going to break your fast.
Okay.
If that's what you want. You can, right now we're pretty much guessing at what would settle your stomach and whether or not this is a hunger cue. I think it's going to be a process for you to try and figure out where the nausea is coming from and what's causing it, or if this is just your body's natural reaction to the morning, and then what settles it. But I wouldn't, like you said, you don't eat the hamburger anymore. I wouldn't go to directly to overeating if you don't really think it's hungry. But a few sips of tea or a glass of milk or, you know, container of yogurt or something like that, those are going to break your fast. The tea won't, but the other ones will. But it might settle your stomach enough for you to make it to lunchtime without being nauseous.
Hmm.
If it is the stomach acid.
Which I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But then if I really want to try intermittent fasting, then when should I try that?
Well, then just try the tea first.
Okay.
Just try the, you know, unspoiled, uncreamed tea.
Just okay.
First and see if that helps. And if it doesn't help, add a little bit of cream, you know, like heavy cream, something that's going to coat your stomach a little bit and see if that helps.
Okay.
And then see how far you can go with that.
Would MCT oil, if I put that in my tea, because that'll curb appetite also, mm-hmm, for a longer period of time. Would that break a fast?
I don't think so. I don't think the bulletproof coffee that Corinne does breaks a fast. I don't think the oil breaks a fast. Mm-mm.
Okay. All right.
That's a good question for her, though, on when she does the fasting. If Merle is still here with the schedule, she's doing one of the Monday night Zooms this month. Is on intermittent fasting. I don't remember which. Well, I can look up. I have my calendar right here. I can look it up for you. That would be a good question for her. I don't believe it does, but I could be wrong. I'm not somebody who fasts on purpose. Isn't that funny? I'm not an intermittent faster. I don't count the hours. I do, you know, I think everybody fasts, you know, because dinner to breakfast is a fast, right? And so, you know, really mine will be probably, I ate dinner tonight about 5:30. I won't eat tomorrow till probably 9. So, you know, that's a 15-hour fast, right?
Yeah. That's like fasting.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't do it intentionally. I just do it naturally. July 29th is her hunger scale and intermittent fasting special diets Zoom.
Okay. All right. I'll get on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I find when I eat 3 meals a day, I gain weight again. It doesn't matter if I've planned my meals or if I portion what I eat or anything, I'll gain weight. And I mean, I joined in September and I've gained weight. And
how's your hunger scale?
My hunger scale?
Mm-hmm.
I try to eat when I'm like a -2 and I try to stop when I'm satisfied. You know, people say I eat like a bird. I don't eat all that much food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can't stop this weight from coming on, and it's so disheartening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the number that I have to lose is getting so big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really plays with your mind.
I think I'd really pay attention to your hunger scale and see what you can learn about. Well, you're working on the -2, obviously, and the fasting, but see what you can learn about the +2. If you feel any kind of heaviness in your stomach when you're finished eating, then you're overeating, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So you might just see what happens when you leave a few bites behind and see if it changes anything about how long you can go until you're hungry again. So like, what's the amount of time between lunch and dinner that mm-hmm. it takes you to get hungry again? What's the matter?
Depends. Sometimes I have a really, really late lunch, mm-hmm. like 3 or 4 o'clock lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not really hungry till, you know, 8 or 9.
Yeah.
But if I eat an 11 a.m. or noon lunch, you know, I'll still eat at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, but I'm pretty hungry by, you know,
yeah.
7. I'm ready.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Eating to +2 will usually last you, depending on how much fat you're eating, usually last you about 4 hours.
Okay.
So if you're going longer, you might be eating to +3, which could be 4 or 5 bites, 3 or 4 or 5 bites, something like
that. Wow. Okay. That's interesting.
So you could try that. In fact, That might be kind of a fun little thing for you to try, is over the next week, leave 3 bites behind each meal. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, if you're eating 2 meals a day.
Right now I'm eating 3 because okay. It's summertime and my kids are home and they're hungry. So,
okay. So 9 bites a day over 7 days is 63 bites, right? That's a lot. Yeah. If you estimate 15, 20 bites a meal, mm-hmm. that could be 4 meals you're overeating in a week's time. 4 okay. full meals.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay. so try that. Try paying attention to closer attention to your plus.
Okay.
I love the math of that. I find it fascinating.
Yeah, that is interesting. Mm-hmm.
So someone in the chat says that any calories break a true fast. Fat is the lowest insulin response. And that's per Dr. Fung, who I believe wrote the obesity code. Mm-hmm. So the cream would break the fast, but the fat would not. MCT oil would not.
Okay.
Okay.
But wouldn't the MCT oil, doesn't it have some calories in it?
Well, yeah, but I think there's something to, I don't want to tell you wrong. It does have calories, but I just want to think the Bulletproof coffee doesn't break the fast, but I want you to ask this. I want you to ask Corinne on July 29th.
Okay.
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 I want you to get the right information.
Okay.
Since I'm not a faster, I don't. Yeah. Well, I drink the coffee and then I eat breakfast. I drink.
Sometimes when I'm hungry, I'll have a Diet Coke to kind of tide me over. But I know you guys want me to drink more water other than Diet Coke.
Well, the Diet Coke probably nauseates you. Think about all
that. No, it settles my stomach.
Really? That's so interesting. Okay.
I don't know if it's the carbonation or what, but it settles my stomach.
Yeah, Diet Coke will eat through metal.
I know, it's vicious, horrible stuff. I've read everything. Everyone around me wants me to stop drinking it, but I find it settles my stomach and I feel better after I drink it. Maybe it's all mental, but. Maybe.
Try the tea.
I'll try the tea.
Tea helps.
Okay. Helps. I'll do that. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Janet, you're next. Janet, are you there?
Yes.
Let's see if we can get your video started. Ah, there you are. Well, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. It's good to see you this evening.
Good to see you.
You're looking pretty in your shirt. I like that. Oh,
thank you. What's up with you?
Well, I was just kind of following up. I did mm-hmm. the compelling reasons worksheet. Mm-hmm. Kind of dug into some things that I didn't realize was there and bothering me. But I think I may have found some of my compelling reasons. I'm making quite a list of them.
Good.
Weight has run in my family. My mother was overweight and had weight loss surgery. So I was digging in kind of deeper, and I haven't done that before. And it dawned on me in some of my questioning and thoughts and journaling that my dad recently made a comment that if I was ever going to lose the weight, I was going to have weight loss surgery. That he didn't think that I could keep it off like my sisters. I have 2 younger sisters who exercise a lot and are definitely, you know, smaller physique, and it really kind of hit me that I had never, it didn't bother me until now when I recalled him saying that, and that really just kind of stuck in my head, like, yeah, I don't have to have weight loss surgery like mom did, you know. I know she's had a lot of trouble with that, mm-hmm. but it just kind of strung a note with me, and I was writing that down, and I was like, yeah, I can do this, I don't need that. And almost to, like, I could prove to myself like that. I feel like that's one of my many compelling reasons.
Okay.
But it was very helpful. So I wanted to let you know, I appreciated mm-hmm. your advice on that. Cause mm-hmm. I think sometimes we take what our parents say and, you know, it skims by us, but then later on, it really did hurt me when he said that.
Well, you thought about it.
Yes.
He said it. You had a thought about it.
You're right. Yes, that was how I perceived it. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, he gets
to be wrong, right?
Yes, because yeah. I can prove that
right
myself that he mm-hmm. that he is wrong, and that you know mm-hmm. I can live my life and lose my weight the way I choose to, mm-hmm. Not what he thinks.
Right,
but that's the only way that's going to happen.
Right,
because that's always been like I've always been on some type of diet or had issues since I was probably in eighth grade. So. Mm-hmm. And it's been in my face in my family. My mother's aunts, some of them were overweight. So, and not that I'm saying that that's an excuse, but I've just had that in my life. And I think after writing all this stuff down and answering the questions on that compelling reason mm-hmm. has really dug in a little further to what I thought. I didn't really have any issues, but looking back in teenage years, you know, there was probably something there. I just didn't really know it at the time.
Yeah. My father's whole family was overweight. My mm-hmm. father, when my son Jason was born, Jason was born in 1990. My father weighed 400 pounds. Okay. And he had a brother as big as him, and his mother was as big as him. Mm-hmm. And his sister was close. He had one brother who worked at it the whole, you know, decided he was going to be different. And worked at it and kept his weight down. But growing up in that family, I just knew it's in the genes, buddy. I'm just going to be me. And I allowed that excuse in my brain for a very long time, for 47 years. This is just how I'm going to be. I'm just like the rest of the family.
Right.
So, it was very interesting when I started losing my weight. My father, had lost some weight as well. And he kept looking at me like, you know, you're breaking the cycle. You know, he never told me I'd have to have weight loss surgery. But I think he probably had a nagging thought as well that this was just going to be the destiny of the family. But it all just goes to show it's just a thought, right? It's just exactly. an excuse we give ourselves. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's cool that one of your compelling reasons is to show your dad you don't need weight loss surgery. There's yeah. nothing wrong with that. If it makes you feel empowered, I think it's great.
Yeah.
What are some of your others?
I decided, being in Georgia in the South in the heat, I don't want my legs to rub together anymore. I've come to that conclusion. I do not want my legs to rub together anymore.
I love that one.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
Yes. So yeah, that's one of getting into you know cute clothes, being able to not worry about oh they don't have my size because mm-hmm. you know the clothes and just I've always been humble with myself about saying I want to be sexy, but I do. I want to be sexy. I want to look sexy. I want people to when I'm out with my husband to mm-hmm. I want to feel sexy for myself and him. So
yeah,
it's kind of like you getting out of your comfort zone and saying cuss words. It's kind of the same way I am about saying that.
Yeah.
But deep down, that's really how I want to look good.
Yeah.
You know, I want to feel good. I want, mm-hmm. you know, so, and yeah. being able to look good in my clothes, definitely any size, you know, not worrying about, this particular brand I can wear this size or no, I want to be able to wear a certain size, every item.
You want to walk in and pick an 8 off the shelf and know it's going to fit, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. It's quite interesting too. This morning, Kathy, my daughter, who is just turned 20, was fixing her lunch with me and I was making my sandwich and she was making hers and she's, "Mom, do I have too much to eat?" And I was like, why are you asking me that? She had made a sandwich. Mm-hmm. She had some blue corn chips, a banana and some peanut butter. She's like, "Well, the girl that I work with, she just thought it was odd that I didn't pack enough to eat. It looked like I didn't have enough to eat." And I said, "Well, Elizabeth," I said, "you look like you have plenty. You have fruit. You have a little bit of everything." I said, "Are you satisfied with what you've made?" "Well, yeah." "Is it fill you up?" "Yeah." I said, "Then why are you worrying about what somebody else
yeah.
does?" I was like, "You need to get out of that. You fix yeah. what you want and what size you." So I thought that was so interesting this morning. I had an opportunity to teach her mm-hmm. to like quit worrying about what someone else thinks. If this fills you up and you're satisfied, right. Let it go.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't know if Cherie is still on this call. But if you are, Cherie, I want you to look at Janet's face when she talks about her compelling reasons. Because you're smiling and you're excited and you're thinking forward, and you know, your reasons mirrored hers a little bit in that she also wanted to be sexy and shop in the regular clothes section, but she was doing it from a, she was saying those things from a place of not liking herself now. And I don't know that I see that in you. I think what I see in you is somebody who's excited about where she's going, not unhappy about where she is. Is that pretty close?
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah.
I would say that.
I think that's cool. I like seeing the excitement on your face when you talk about your compelling reasons.
Yes. Cause it does help to have that positive, to keep reinforcing those positive words mm-hmm. to yourself and mm-hmm. how you see your future self. It definitely okay. makes a difference.
Right. Sure does.
And hopefully my daughter is picking up and taking some of this from me. So, I mean, because she needs to learn that too. Yeah. She needs to learn that too.
No doubt she is watching you. How old is she?
20. She just turned 20. 20.
Yeah, she's keeping her eye on you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So anyway. But anyway, well, that was it. I just wanted okay. to kind of follow up with you and let you kind of know some things. And it's been very helpful. So.
Very good. I'm glad. I'm glad you checked in.
Yes. All right. I hope you All have right. a great evening, Kathy.
You too. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Roz, you are up. Roz? Hi. I don't see you.
Let's there
see.
We go.
Oh, there you are.
How can you see me? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I do apologize with the backlighting. There's not a lot I can do. The back of my office faces west.
That's okay. So you're still in the sunshine. Well, I have a little bit of sun.
Well, it's 5:42 in California.
Oh, yeah.
That's Although funny. I'm not, my body's really having problems figuring out what time it is, because yesterday I came home from overseas.
Mm.
And it was like over 24 hours if you took the time zone in Italy to the time I got home. But anyway, that was not why I called. Time.
What's up? What's up with you?
All right. I was doing the buffering worksheet okay. Or that exercise while sitting on the plane. And mm-hmm. I kind of got stumped on like page 4.
Okay. Tell me what the question was.
And I don't have the actual workbook here. So there was one that it was the early on said, list the feelings that you buffer with.
Okay.
That you know, generate buffering activity.
Okay.
And it said list the thoughts that cause the feelings. So I started scribbling out the circumstances, the thought, the feeling, the action, and the result, and kind of try to do it as a model, or at least remind myself that's what I wanted to do. But I kind of scratched my head and I was like, no, those are actions. No, those are not thoughts. And I wasn't quite sure I was getting to the thoughts and the feelings were getting.
Okay. Let's back up then. Pushed. The question asked you for the feelings that you buffer with.
Yeah.
So what was your answer?
Well, I put down, kind of made it just brainstorm things that I thought were feelings. Okay. I know some of them actually are, like sadness, mm-hmm. stress, mm-hmm. overwhelm, bored.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But those are definitely feelings.
Okay. So they are. So which one? Let's pick overwhelm. Okay. What thought? What was the next question? What thought leads to those feelings?
Yeah. And I don't think I even got, I don't know if I actually got to writing overwhelm because
okay.
I lumped it into stress.
Okay. Well, we'll pick stress then. So if you're buffering with a feeling of stressed,
and
let's go to action first. What are you doing when you're stressed out and you're buffering? What are you doing?
I usually go, stress tends to happen kind of a work-related thing.
Okay. And,
you know, I remember sat at a desk all day,
mm-hmm.
you know, before you retired and got a fun job.
And sat at a desk all day.
Well, yeah, it's a different kind of sitting at a desk.
It is. So you know, when you're stressed, at work, what do you do?
I start looking for things to munch on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some things I do with my daily plan to counteract that as a snack, so that at least it's not M&M's total junk.
Okay, but it's still buffering.
Carrot sticks will work for that, actually. Yeah.
It's still buffering. You can buffer with cucumbers. It doesn't have to be
M&M's. Exactly. My latest thing is craisins.
So that's overeating, right? It's and still, buffering because you're stressed.
It's overeating because I'm not hungry when I'm eating. It's on my plan, but it's still overeating.
Right. Okay. So what thought creates this stress for you? What's the overarching thought? I have so much to do. I'll never get this done. What is it?
What I put down when I did this was, if I eat, I'll feel better and food will comfort me by numbing the feeling.
Right. But what are you feeling bad from? Right. What are you feeling? That's another model. Right. If I eat, I'll feel better is another model. You're feeling bad in this model. You're feeling stressed. What's the thought causing the stress?
That's where I think it's too many things to do, things that, clients do not want to follow the legal advice.
Right. Well, too many things to do would lead to overwhelm. Right. Yeah, clients aren't listening. Leads to
stress. You can only do so much. I mean, I can accept that, but sometimes you're like, the advice is, you're giving the advice and they still want to go jump off the deep end. And
why does that bother you?
I think because you know what's going to happen when they ignore the advice.
So they get to pick. Why does it bother you? Why does it bother you?
I think it bothers me most because at the end, then I get more of a mess to clean up because they
want the problem? Yeah, what's the problem with that?
It creates work that doesn't need to be created.
Oh. Isn't that your job? To clean up these messes?
Yes.
Offer legal advice and come behind and be their attorney and be their, aren't you on, you're probably on retainer, right?
No, I work with the federal government.
Oh, well, okay. It's still your job. Right?
It is advice and, you do get that, but sometimes it just causes stress because you're thinking, you rack your brain trying to figure out how to be persuasive.
Yeah. They get to decide what their decision is going to be.
But they still get to decide.
Right. You don't get to choose their decision.
Enough, you show them what the consequences of the action will be.
Yeah. And then they get to decide.
And they still get to decide.
Right. And if they decide poorly, then
stress is really what happens.
Mm-hmm. So you're stressed because you're judging their decisions.
I never thought about it that way, but either that or I've seen the result of this decision before because this is not a new issue.
Right. That's like every job.
Exactly. I don't think it's unique. I don't think I'm a special unicorn.
Right. So I guess my point is, if it's just the job, and you don't work so hard at worrying about whether or not they're going to mess up and come back. You just handle it when they do, then you've kind of taken the stress out of it because, you know your job, you do a good job, you do your work, you've presented the best argument to them, they pick, you handle it again. They get to be, right? We all get to be idiots at some point. So, if you drop the judgment of their decision and you just handle the work as it comes across your desk, then you've dropped the stress of that particular kind of situation.
So how do I work through these questions? Like, what questions do I ask myself to stimulate my brain to think about what thoughts are driving the feelings?
When you identify the feeling, you ask yourself, why do I feel this way? And the answer is always a mess of thoughts. Always. The client is stupid. They made the wrong decision. They never follow my advice. All those are thoughts.
Okay.
Okay. I find in the model, the feeling is always the easiest thing, always easier to come up with than the thought. That's for me. I can always get in touch with what I'm feeling. I can always, you know that I'm feeling sad or angry or frustrated or overwhelmed or happy or whatever. And so a lot of times when I'm doing my daily journaling, I will just ask myself, why do I feel happy? And just write. Or why do I feel sad today? And that's a lot. I bet you 30% of my journal entries are, why do I feel sad? Because I wake up and I'm kind of this, my brain hasn't activated yet. And so I just be kind of this low level blah. So I'm like, why do I feel sad? And I'll realize that it's not really sad. It's just, I haven't intentionally set my focus for the day yet. So it's interesting. I can always start with a feeling and then ask yourself why you feel that way. And you'll come up with your thoughts.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Because I was sitting there going, just racking my brain. And eventually what I'll do is I'll just start writing.
Yeah.
So I can write and then I can edit. I can't edit a blank page.
Right. Right. Exactly. I like that. Can't edit a blank page. I might use that, Ross.
I hate to write, but I do write for a living. It's an oxymoron.
Yes. Well, a lawyer who doesn't write. I'm saying I can't picture a lawyer who doesn't write, an attorney who doesn't, you know, all attorneys have to write, right?
That is really far more of the job than what you see on TV and standing in court.
Absolutely.
Much more of the job. Can we do one more if you have time?
Mm-hmm.
Can we do the, I think it's fairly similar, but the boredom one.
Okay.
You know, and it tends to be two extremes. Sitting in my office doing exactly what I've got up on my screen right now, which is a good chunk of my job is not practicing law, which I do terribly miss, but that's a whole nother question.
Mm-hmm.
So a good chunk of my job is essentially things that involve meeting planning and attendance management for putting on training sessions. And we do them, I don't know, 6 times a year.
Okay.
And so I do a lot of looking at the computer database with the roster and figuring out who's canceled in the database, which we get no notice of. So
sure. Some
of it is just a combination of boredom and frustration.
Okay.
This is tedious. And sometimes I just, my brain, it doesn't challenge my brain at all.
Okay.
It's
so, you
know,
and you eat when you get bored?
I do. I'll eat to buffer. I've really gotten good at, you know, I'm going to sit there and munch on something.
And then, what are you buffering from when you're munching?
Because I'm bored. I don't want to do this. It's procrastination.
Okay. You're buffering the procrastination. You're buffering from procrastinating. Right. Okay.
Procrastination because I'm bored, because it's not challenging me.
Okay.
It's layers.
That's the thought. This doesn't challenge me.
Okay. Then I found the thought there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did. I suspect on that one, you didn't see it right off because you thought that was a fact. I'm smarter.
No, I didn't think not challenging was a fact. I just didn't think that was there's a whole lot of other, you know, thoughts and whatnot. So no,
well, if you think there's more than that, then journal on why I think this doesn't challenge me. Okay.
Okay.
You think there's something below that, then ask yourself why and see what comes up.
Three little letters. That's a great question.
Yep.
See you in October.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Let's do one more. Alyssa. Let's see what you got. Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
How are you? I'm all right. How are you?
Good. What's up with you?
Realistic planning.
Okay.
I have made, or I did make, every day in June a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I assessed every plan at the end of the day for the first time I've made through a straight month since I joined in April of 2018.
Good for you.
That part is good. But I make a plan, and the breakfasts were good because I don't normally eat it. I write it down just in case. Lunch, 80% of the time, following it. Dinner has gotten better, but it's just, I think it's more of like snacking and like I write things down, but then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to put that on my plan because I don't need it. And so that I don't write it down, but then I have it. And we're talking to my accountability group. I posted something today in the thread and my accountability partner's like, you need to go get coached. I'm like,
yeah, your plan's not realistic.
Right.
If you're running through this dialogue of, well, I don't need to put that on there, and you're eating it anyway, then it needs to be on the plan. Because what the realistic plan teaches you is not is to not eat behind your own back.
Right.
Okay.
But and then that's if what it's you're doing. That you know you're not going to lose weight eating it, then it's like, okay, so it's, I feel like it's counterproductive. Like it's.
But you're eating it anyway.
I try not to. Like, legit. I'm like, it's like an argument until 10 o'clock at night when everybody's in bed.
But if you plan it, if you plan it ahead of time, you put it on the plan ahead of time, then when 10 o'clock comes, you get to decide whether you're going to eat it or not. You're not having an argument anymore. You're like, it's on the plan. I'm eating it or I'm not. You know, right. What you've so done is taken off that layer of argument that says, well, it's not on the plan, but I don't care. Well, you know, I don't want to even, you know, you've taken off that layer of the argument. It comes down to either eat it or don't eat it.
Right. Okay. But then it's after you have it, then it's the feeling of, well, I shouldn't have had that. Even though it was on my plan, I planned it.
That's the self-judgment. You know. That's the piece. That's, you know, the should. There's that word should again, right? You've been on this call the whole time.
No, only the last like 15 minutes.
All right. Should is judgment. That's where you're judging yourself. Should or should not do something. What good does that do you? Other than, you know, the beat down that you get, which really doesn't do you any good either.
Right.
Right.
But then how do you get to the point of, you know, this isn't something you should have.
Should.
And I know they say there's no good food, no bad food. You're like, should. But it's, you know, Reese's peanut butter cups. You know, you don't need those. They're not beneficial. But did you want them? So you put them on your plan. So then I'm like, okay, I have that. Then how do you get past the just dropping the judgment and be like, I made a decision. This is what I had and move on with it. Like.
You just do. You just don't. You just tell yourself that we're not. You. It's like you can't. You can't judge your own thoughts and come away positive. All right. So when you're telling yourself, I shouldn't eat Reese's peanut butter cups or Reese, you know, or
whatever,
whatever. Okay. You've already eaten them. So you can decide how you're going to feel about it. It's the past now. You've eaten the Reese's peanut,
right.
The Reese's cups. It's the past now. You decide whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. And then you move on. You decide if you're going to put them on your plan the next day and you move on. You stop the beat down because the beat down doesn't help anything. Okay. So when you see yourself going down that road, you say, Kathy said this doesn't help anything. What helps is creating a plan for tomorrow that I know I'm going to follow and not eat behind my back on. And if I don't put Reese's cups on tomorrow's plan and I want them, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell myself I can plan them tomorrow. I'm going to just tell myself, no, I'm not going to give in because this is the plan today. You just start that internal dialogue.
Right.
But if you put them on the plan, then you get to decide whether or not to eat them. If you don't eat them, you're still on plan, right? If you do eat them, you're on plan. And then you get to evaluate at the end of the day if the plan worked for you. You get to evaluate on the scale at the end of the week if your 7 plans worked for you and decide what to level up. And it might be one less Reese cup. It might be Reese cups every other day. It might be Reese cups once a week that you look forward to. And you tell yourself, you know, let's say I'm going to plan them once a week on Wednesdays. right? Every day that you want one, you can say, you know what? On Wednesday,
I can have one.
I can have them. I get to have three. That's how you level up. But for now, they go on the plan every day and you decide. Okay? Then when you feel like you're gaining some momentum, pull them off the plan one day and see what happens.
Well, I just did that with soft drinks again. Like, finally,
yeah,
it's gone.
Yeah. So you know you have evidence that you can do that then.
Yeah.
So you can do it with
whiskey. I still want them, but I've made the commitment. I've got to cut back somewhere.
Well, you know what? You still want them, which means you're sitting with urges, right?
Right.
Are you resisting the urge or are you allowing it to be there?
Just resisting the urge.
Are you fighting it? Or are you just saying, okay, so this is where you say, okay, I know I'm going to have an urge for a Coke. We call them Cokes. I know I'm going to have an urge for a Coke.
Right.
It's going to come. It's probably going to come here in about, 8 o'clock or whatever time it comes. And tonight I'm going to feel the urge and I'm not going to fight it. I'm just going to let it be there. And I know I'm going to want it and it's okay. And you just have that dialogue with yourself instead of going, oh my God, I want a Coke so bad. My head hurts. I want a Coke. Don't do that.
Yep. That's where it boils down to. It's it's the not wanting to be uncomfortable, I think, is what it is. It's easier to not be uncomfortable than it is to resist the urge, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but what you're doing is swapping one kind of discomfort for another one. Right?
Yeah.
So you can either feel the discomfort of doing without the Coke or the discomfort of having it on your body.
Right, of not losing weight, where it's just what's happening.
Right. And I think that's what we forget because what we forget, I say we, all of us, I think that's what we forget because the Coke in the moment takes away the discomfort. We think it takes away the discomfort.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't because it adds the discomfort to the scale and to later, you know, having to
weigh in on Friday.
Right.
And it's not down.
Right.
And so that's where I struggle because it's like I know that those things are not going to be beneficial. I know at the end of the week if I have this every day, it's not going to show on the scale. So it's like I can't push past to sit with that discomfort. I'm like, okay, what do I've got to do? I've tried journaling. It doesn't work. Well,
it's not going to take it away.
It doesn't work.
That's the problem. You want it to go away. You want the discomfort to go away. It's not going to.
Right.
It's all how you look at it now, whether you fight it and hate it or whether you say, Kathy said it's not going to go away. Corinne has said it's not going to go away. I may as well just understand that it's here and leave it be rather than fight against it.
So just feel it.
Just feel it. The beautiful thing about a feeling and an urge is that it will pass whether you feed it or not.
Right.
It might take a minute. But when you go to bed tonight and go to sleep, you're not going to have an urge for a Coke.
Right. I'll be in bed.
Because you'll be in bed and you'll be asleep.
Okay. So I just have to feel it. There's no easy way.
No. Well, that is the easy way.
Yeah.
That is the easy way. Just feeling it is the easy way. The hard way is fighting it.
Been there and done that.
Huh?
I said, I've been there and done that.
Yeah. This realistic plan, though, you have to quit eating behind your back. You have to quit telling yourself it doesn't go on the plan because I shouldn't eat it if you're eating it anyway.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, because then I need to do a recovery worksheet, which then I don't do because then I have to own the decision that I made.
Because that's uncomfortable too. You just don't like being uncomfortable, girl.
Nope. Gotta be uncomfortable.
What if being a little uncomfortable actually felt good because you knew you were doing something? you knew you were making progress.
Change in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot of it.
What if discomfort was actually an indicator of progress?
Wow.
Are you in the Queen's Club? No.
Nope.
Queen's Club Masterclass next week on the 10th for anybody who is in Queen's Club is going to be on that topic. How do you use...
My goal is Queen's Club.
Yeah?
I'm hoping to be in there by the end of the month.
Cool. I'd love to see you come in there. I can't wait.
Me too.
Discomfort, there was another one. There's two feelings I came up with that I thought, I'm going to talk about these two feelings and how they are positive, how they can be used as positive influences on your weight loss. And discomfort is one of them, because discomfort is really an indicator. If you're feeling discomfort and you're not pushing against it, if you're actually feeling it, it's an indicator of progress. It means you are finding ways to level up your food gain, your urge gain.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm definitely uncomfortable. So...
Yeah.
But I'm ready to push past it. I'm like literally, like I was excited about this challenge. This is it's what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Don't push through it. Don't push around it. Don't push it. Just feel it. And think about when you feel that discomfort, think about what's coming on the backside of discomfort. What good are you doing for yourself because you feel discomfort?
Right. That works.
Does it?
It does.
You're going to wrap your noodle around that one, wrap your brain on that one, right?
I do. I got to sit and think about that.
Okay.
That's good advice.
All right.
That's why I had to get on here.
Very good. All right.
Thank you. Well,
you're welcome. Put everything on that plane you think you're going to eat, girl.
I'm going to. I'm making one now.
All right.
Good night.
Huh?
Oh, I just said good night.
All right. Talk to you later. Tanya, you lose 25 pounds. You get to Queen's Club. All right. Let's do this Q&A and then we'll wrap this up. Where's my Q&A? I think I have to hang on just a second. There it is. I wrote to the Ask Coaches and you answered my conquer fear. You made a model for me and it was spot on. I haven't done a model yet, started in June. You mentioned it sounds like my core belief is what's driving my thoughts. How can I work on this? Christine, the easiest way to work on fear is to write about it. What are you afraid of and why are you afraid of it? Okay. And what positives are coming out of your fear? All right. So, because there's always, it's interesting. Anything we continually dredge up for ourselves has some kind of positive. For you, fear probably has the positive for you when you feel fear is that you don't have to do anything. Okay, fear is one of those things that stops us in our tracks, so we don't have to do work. So as you work on fear, as you write about it, think about what you're afraid of, what you're hiding from, and then what your next step could be to get around the fear would be what I would suggest. Jill. Okay, Jill, we talked about your question. And then you said, how do I get an accountability partner and how do I Marco Polo? So on Mondays, there is a thread in the Tribe Facebook group on accountability. So you could go back and search hashtag daily post for yesterday's accountability thread. Read through that thread and either pick someone or post in it and tell the people reading the thread what it is you're looking for. How often do you want to check in? What way do you want to check in? Marco Polo is a way that a lot of accountability groups talk, and it's an app on your phone that is video messaging. Instead of typing a text message and hitting send, you hit start, record a video, and stop, and it sends to whoever you've decided to Marco Polo with. So you do the back and forth videos. That's what a lot of accountability groups use because it feels more personal because you're actually talking to someone and you get to see their face and get to know them and their surroundings and all that kind of stuff. So check the accountability thread. Also, Jill, you can go to pmptribe.com to community. There's guidelines there about accountability partners and how to find one and what to post about and, just kind of some basic guidelines. So hopefully that helps. All right, you guys, I don't see anything else. Just three questions tonight, and one of them got answered in coaching. So everybody have a great night, and I will see you later. Bye-bye.